Thank you. I'd like to welcome everybody to today's media conference call for HDNet Fight Reckless Abandon, Saturday, December 15th at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, and live on HDNet. I'd like to welcome all the media, as well as we have with us today on the call, Andrew Simon, the CEO of HDNet Fights, Guy Mezger, the director of fighting and also the matchmaker for the event as well. We will have Jason Miller with us and Sean Salmon, who will be fighting the main event. Just briefly, let me go over the co-main event fights on the card. We have Frank Trigg, 15-6 from Las Vegas, Nevada. He will be fighting Edwin DeWeese, who's 43-10 from Phoenix, Arizona. In the other co-main event, we have Jason Mayhem Miller fighting Sean Salmon. Jason Miller, 19-5 from Las Vegas, Nevada. Sean Salmon, 14-4 from Columbus, Ohio. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to the new CEO of HDNet Fights, a gentleman who is Vice President of Cox Communications, a veteran of major pay-per-view events with the UFC, also major boxing events as well, and other events with through Cox Cable. And he has just recently been named the CEO of HDNet Fights. This will be his first event with the company. Andrew Simon.
Thank you, Lester. I want to thank everybody for being on the call today. For Reckless Abandon taking place on Saturday, again, December 15th, as Lester said, at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, at 6:30 p.m. local time. The event's going to be the first of many that we broadcast live on HDNet, which is a rarity to see live MMA action in high def live on HDNet. It's going to be your home for MMA action, and also I'm sure many of you have been watching the hit show Inside MMA that we do on HDNet. As Lester said, co-headlining the HDNet Fights Reckless Abandon on December 15th, we have two unbelievable middleweight clashes. We've got Jason Mayhem Miller, former Icon champ, winner of 6 of his last 7, 12 of his last 14 fights, going against Sean Salmon, who's on fire, coming down in weight class to 185. He's won 5 of his last 6 fights, so it's going to be an unbelievable battle for you guys who are used to winning. Second fight, we got Frank Trigg. Twinkle Toes, as you all know, ranks in the top 10 as a middleweight by Sherdog and many other organizations, going against Edwin Babyface DeWeese, who at 25 years old, don't know if everybody knows, he's fought 44 times, won nearly 80% of the time. So 25-year-old Edwin DeWeese coming out there to battle Frank Trigg. I can go on about the other great fights, but you guys can also look up all the information on HDNetFights.com. Again, go to HDNetFights.com for all the information on all the fighters. I will open up if there's any questions for me, or I will turn it back to Lester, and then we can get to the fighters.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone that if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your touch-tone keypad. And there are currently no questions at this time.
Okay, we can always come back. If anybody has a question for Andrew later, feel free to just punch in and ask, and no problem at all. I'd like to next go to the gentleman who has put this terrific card together. I'm sure all of you know him, Guy Mezger, who is the former UFC champion, Hall of Fame, mixed martial arts fighter from Dallas, Texas, now organizing all the fights for HDNet Fights. Guy Mezger. Guy?
Hey, how are you guys doing today? As always, excited to be part of this for the HDNet Fights deal, and we are growing. Our cards are getting more interesting and getting some more recognized athletes as we go. And we're excited about having this event, and we're excited about being part of this market. I'm personally real excited to see these fights come out. I think the middleweight division is the kind of the unsung hero of mixed martial arts. Some of the best athletes are there, and HDNet is going to bring you a whole bunch of them.
Guy, can you specifically talk about the signing of Jason Miller and also Frank Trigg for this card? I know they're very sought-after fighters, and you were the guy that spearheaded that along with yourself and Andrew Simon. If you could talk about the signing of those fighters, what they mean to the HDNet organization.
Besides the stress that it takes to sign these guys, it's a totally different story. But, I mean, basically it's like this. These guys are two very, very well-known and respected middleweights. Both of them, Frank is ranked in the top 10, and I believe Jason should be ranked in the top 10. And, you know, both of them are very exciting. And this is kind of where we're going. We're going to be stepping up the levels of our commitment to our MMA fans by bringing these type of guys in here. And of course, you look at Sean Salmon, who was a really good 205 pounder. Now he's coming down to 185 pounds, and he's a monster at that weight. And so this is a big opportunity for Sean to come and fight Jason. You know, I think he is probably pictured kind of as an underdog in this fight, but I think this is probably one of the most evenly matched fights out there, and it's going to be a great fight. And Frank is, he's fighting Edwin Dewides, who is only 25 years old, but is on the, you know, if he has a career as long as mine, he'll have about 200 fights. And, you know, if he keeps fighting this way, you know, he is, again, he's a really tough guy. His only losses are, he has a few losses beginning his career when he's getting going, but most of his losses are against, again, the top guys. And Frank is coming off a difficult loss and trying to get his feet back in there. And again, he's always dangerous. Even when Frank is the most dangerous, when he knows he has to buckle down and get serious with his training, get serious with fighting. And so this is going to be another great matchup.
Okay, any questions for Guy Metzger?
At this time, yep. I would like to remind everyone that if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your touchtone keypad.
Yeah, Guy Metzger. How do you get your hair so lustrous?
Okay, and our first question.
Well, to answer that, it's just it's a shame when you just have such wonderful hair naturally.
Sorry, I just got on the call late. I apologize.
Okay, our first question comes from Scott of ShoreDog.com.
Sorry, you kind of answered it earlier. I was just going to ask. About the signing of these four guys, and I guess you kind of already answered that. I guess what are your goals, Guy, as far as filling out your divisions? I know that, you know, the first fight, first HDNet fights was kind of a trial run. Now that you guys are bringing in some bigger names and things like that, what's your goal to fill out your division? Who else would you like to add in there?
The 185-pound weight class?
I guess in all divisions, as far as the HDNets, how do you guys want to find belt holders?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of this, it's got to be, really, to be honest, this is a tough, almost a very tough question to ask, even though it sounds very simple, but really what we're in the process of doing, and this is the thing that makes it difficult, we're in the process of keeping the interest of our MMA fans with the fact that we're bringing in the Jason Millers and the Frank Triggs and guys like that people recognize. But really, for us to set ourselves apart, we also have to brand our own guys, much like the UFC did when they were first starting and Pride did when they were first starting and eventually became, more universal as, the athletes became more universal as they grew. You know, that's why, like, just 185-pound weight class, we have C.B. Dalloway, who's a phenomenal 185-pounder who is 6-7-0 right now, 6-7-0, I don't remember which one it is exactly, but this kid has got a really great future. We have, on the February card, we just signed Jake Rossford, who is three-time national wrestling champion, and he's 4-0 right now, and these guys are going to be kind of the future, whereas, we have to build up in the next year or so, while we are also trying to get, obviously the legitimate people to look at the legitimacy, legitimacy of our organization through having guys like Jason Miller and Frank Trigg. And, we're going to go after, we're going to have to go after some, a bunch of different guys. I mean, it is a tough situation. I mean, obviously the UFC has, a good chunk of guys under contract, and so does Pro Elite. But, we are trying to leave ourselves open to be able to work with these different organizations. We want to look at ourselves not so much as being, the guys are, that the Pro Elite guys are risking their champion against us as much as giving their champions more exposure. And so hopefully we can work something out with Pro Elite that we can be able to work with their athletes. I don't see it happening with the UFC. We can always hold our breath. I don't see it happening that way, but we're trying to keep ourselves open with other organizations so we can, we can build some stars.
And, guys, this is Andrew adding into that a little bit. You know, one of the things we're doing is working with partner organizations. So HDNet fights, you'll see 24 to 26 fights a year on HDNet. And with that, you'll see us working with regional partners throughout the country and throughout the world. And we'll be announcing some of the partner organizations that you'll be seeing fights from. So you'll be seeing fights from all over the country and regional, ultimately fighting against each other on HDNet fights as well.
That answer your question, all right?
Yeah, thank you.
And the next question comes from Sam of 5OuncesOfPain.com.
Hey, guy, I had a question. You just mentioned Jake LaRochelle appearing in February. I know you've also done some work with other team takedown members. I think Shane Roller trains out of your gym. Are there any plans to get any of the other team takedown members involved?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of that has to, you know, I'm sure has to do with their management. You know, I mean, they Shane trains at my gym, but he's not, you know, managed by us. You know, he's got himself a great little management crew, and they got to see what's going to be best for them. And that's our responsibility to let them know that having a home at HDNet is going to be best for them. But yeah, I look forward. I mean, listen, they got some really great fighters. You know, I mean, they really got some guys that have some potential. You know, I mean, they jump in with some pretty tough guys right off their first and second fights. And not that I would do that personally if I was managing, but it seems to pay off. These guys are coming off strong. I mean, you know, I think they're going to be real. You know, I think they're going to be real stars. And we definitely would love them to be stars with us.
And the contracts that Frank Trigg and Jason Mayhem Miller signed, are those multi-fight contracts?
Yes.
And are they exclusive?
No, they can fight for other organizations. We just get the, we have a three-fight deal with them that allows us to, you know, be able to exercise three fights with them. Basically it's like this. As long as the person that has them fight doesn't under, you know, they don't, you know, they don't fight for less than we're offering them, then we're comfortable with it. And as long as it doesn't interfere with one of our events. Like, you know, our intention is to have these guys fight in February cards also. So obviously we wouldn't want to have them fight in January to maybe interfere with that. But after the February fight, depending on, you know, where they are physically and stuff, you know, and where it makes sense to put them back on the card, we let them be open to be able to move to another event. Our intention is to help build these guys up. Do we want to be known as a great organization? Yes, but I think a little bit less of a, like, the classical idea that people have. Like, everyone's so jealous about their champion organization. We're not really jealous about that. I mean, we eventually want to have our champions. But we want our champions to be able to go out there and fight other champions and stuff like that. And I don't think it diminishes. If our champion lost to the UFC champion, I don't look at it as that our organization's weak as much as that particular individual just happened to be better than the guy we had. You know what I mean? And that's, I mean, and you know, we're trying to get it out of less of which organization's greater and really which athlete is greater. And that's one of our focuses that we're trying to do. And that's why we have the open contract with what we're doing. We want to build them up. If the fights make sense, obviously if Jason Miller decided that he wanted to fight, you know, a 320-pound guy, well, that doesn't make sense, you know. So we would ask him not to do that. But if it's just a normal fight within reason and you're getting paid good for it, hey, more power to you.
Why not? What's wrong with you?
Sorry? Oh, okay. Is that you, Jason?
I want to be able to fight 300-pound guys if I want.
I know, but that's why your management actually let us actually put that in. We didn't actually put that in your contract, but your manager made us do it. So you will go fight 300-pound guys.
All right, thanks everybody.
Okay, and our next question comes from Matt of Fight Magazine.
Hey fellas, how you doing?
Great.
Looking into 2008, how many shows is HDNet planning on running, and do you guys plan on traveling, like, outside of the Dallas area and going across the country with that model, or are you trying to more build the brand there in Dallas close to home and then take it on the road, or how is that all going to go down?
I'll take this one, guy.
Yeah.
Andrew talking again. We'll probably do somewhere between 22 and 24 shows between HDNet fights, which will be, you know, our fight plan and our partner organization. We're going to be doing three cards in Dallas, coming up over the next 12 months, and then we will be taking it throughout the country as well. You know, we've been trying to really build a fan base up in Dallas, and frankly, as you all know, Mark Cuban is the owner of HDNet Fife. We have the benefit of working out of the American Airlines Center, the home of the Mavericks, and also Mark has an investment in the American Airlines Center. So it's a great home for us to really build the fan base and get the most promotion possible to start out, and then we will be taking it throughout the United States.
I appreciate it.
And our next question comes from Ken of MMAWeekly.com.
Hi. You guys have answered a lot of the questions I had so far, but one thing that has been bandied about recently is that a couple different places have mentioned that HDNet has been talking to Randy Couture as far as maybe bringing him in as some sort of a face for the promotion to help build the promotion up quicker. Is that something that you guys can talk about, and is it something that you can confirm that you have at least been talking to Randy Couture?
Well, on that, to be honest, I mean, this conversation, we really would love to stick to, the idea of getting this fight going,
Okay.
Randy's been talking to a bunch of people, obviously. Randy Couture is an icon of mixed martial arts. If for some reason we could get Randy on board with us, that would be awesome. And, we would let you guys know when that came about. But it would be, obviously irresponsible to even, even speculate that something like that at this point.
Okay. Now, as far as taking these guys and building up the promotion you brought in, some pretty good names for this. Do you think that, between the two big middleweight bouts that you have for this card, are you looking to build towards a title maybe on the February card as far as if with the winners of these two middleweight bouts?
Well, as for building a title on this thing is, I think that everyone's just a little too happy. These new organizations are just a little too happy with who they think they are, and they have these titles. And to be honest, that people criticize boxing for having ABC titles and stuff and everything. MMA makes boxing look sane when it comes to that. Every organization and everyone, I mean, if I have, I get 1,000 emails of fighters who is the ABC champion, the FC, the monster champion, the super monster champion. That doesn't mean anything to me, I mean, to be honest, there's only really a couple of organization titles that mean something, The UFC, Pro Elite is actually coming up in there. Icon is put together shows that are good, so it gets a little bit more respectable like that. What we really want to do is we want to get the respect of our fan base first. So when we have a title, it means something. Then the fact that we just went out and purchased a really shiny belt and strapped it on the first guy who won it, So if that makes sense to you, if I clarified it enough or so for you, because we'd rather have it to where it really means something. So we're going to hold off a little bit before we do that, so it makes a little bit more sense.
So the plan, if I understand it, would be to build up the roster first and build up the organization before you start saying, hey,
exactly. I mean, wouldn't that be a little more refreshing for you guys to be able to do that than talk about the next champion this and next champion that? And how many champions are, every organization has their champion, There's really it doesn't mean that much. We want, the UFC title means something. Why? Because they put in the time and the effort to create this great company that they are, And they have. So that's what we want to do. We want to put in the time and energy and create the company and create the type of program, the type of fights and stuff that people will be justified saying, hey man, it means something to be the HD, be the HD Net fighting champion than it is to be, Joe Blow champion.
Got it. Thanks.
And there are currently no questions at this time.
Okay, let's go ahead and go to our co-main event, Jason Miller against Sean Salmon. Sean, I apologize. I said Salmon first, I believe. It is Salmon.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and go to Sean first. Sean, 14-4 from Columbus, Ohio. Big fight coming up. If you can talk about that and take some questions, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm out of Columbus, Ohio. I'm 14-4. I've been fighting for not quite 2 years now and staying as active as I can.
Okay, Sean, can you talk about the fight with Jason Miller and your reasoning for taking the fight, and how you feel about the fight itself, and how you see it playing out?
This is honestly, and I'm sure you hear athletes and fighters say this all the time, and this is a dream fight for me. I was a fan of Mayhem's before I even started fighting, so to be given this opportunity less than 2 years into my career is a great honor, but at the same time, I'm not in awe of him. I'm impressed with his ability. I'm impressed with his, the way he entertains fans, but I'm not in awe of him. I'm not in awe of him at all. I'm excited to step in the cage with him. And I think every fight I've had, I've always believed that it was going to end early. I always believed one way or another I was going to find a way to finish the fight quick. This one, I'm coming for 15 minutes. This is a tough kid. I've seen him get pounded before and fight tooth and nail until the last second. So I can't expect to be able to finish him. I got to expect to go 15 minutes nasty, and at the end of it, hopefully, I'm the one getting my hand raised.
Okay, at this time, why don't we go ahead and open up questions for Sean?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your touchtone keypad, only one. And our first question comes from Gary from 15rounds.com.
Oh, actually, my question was for Guy.
Go ahead, that's fine.
As far as HDNet goes, they have a limited penetration to the television markets. Is there a chance that HDNet is looking to expand their coverage, or would they ever be looking to put their shows on another network?
Guy, let me take this. This is Andrew
talking.
You know, every day we're looking to expand the coverage. You know, it's basically on DirecTV, Dish, Time Warner, NCTC systems throughout the country. When you take a look at where we're going to expand, the big place that's missing is Comcast and Cox Communications. I came from Cox Communications. I can tell you we're actively looking to add it. You will see it adding in the Orange County market in California in about 2 weeks in December. So the start of expanding HDNet is happening already at Cox, and we will be happening with other cable systems throughout the country in the near future. We're working on that every day. In the meanwhile, for anybody, make sure you call your cable operator. The pressure on them to add it helps. And number two, the amount of MMA action, 26-plus different events a year, is going to really put the pressure on the cable systems that don't have it to add it this year.
And I have one further question for guys. Concerning somebody else who currently obviously works out with him, we believe a lot, Ken Shamrock, is there any thoughts to ever bringing him into fight?
Yeah, absolutely. It would be great to have Ken fight for us. But again, a part of it is that we have to be somewhat responsible with the money that we spend. You know, I mean, Ken would be somebody that we would want to bring in on a pay-per-view type thing because, you know, his price tag is a lot more expensive than some of these other guys. I mean, to be honest, Mayhem and Trigg are pretty expensive fighters. And
well worth it, though.
And well worth it. I mean, without a doubt, you know. So what we're trying to do is give these guys, you know, again, basically what we are is free TV. So as we grow, our intention is obviously to grow pay-per-view, too, because that's going to be, that's obviously a revenue source that is going to be crucial for us to be successful, to really have these, you know, big world title fights, be able to responsibly pay these guys without throwing money away, so to speak. And Ken Shamrock may be somebody that we use in the future. It would be great to have him.
Thank you very much.
Okay, more questions for Sean Salmon, please.
Next question comes from Scott from ShoreDog.com.
Hey, Sean, how you doing? Can you talk a little bit about the fight with Mayhem, how you do plan to battle with his, wiringness, and then also talk about your drop in weight class?
Mayhem, he presents a lot of problems, especially with his flexibility, his ground game, and his stand-ups. He throws a lot of kicks, and he's going to have a for sure reach advantage on me. I've been spending a lot of time training on submission defense, staying disciplined in the guard. A lot of my problem in the past has been I just get impatient and too excited to want to get the fight where I want it and finish it. So I have been working extremely hard on being patient and seeking out opponents that are in the 6 feet to 6 foot 3 long, flexible range to train with, you know, good at submissions. I put in some time with Dustin Haslett, George Gagelton. He's a little smaller, but, he's a magician on his own. He'll submit you from anywhere. So in that aspect, I have to have a lot of respect for Jason on the ground and not get greedy if I am able to get, top position. Coming down from 185, was just kind of a natural move for me. I was a small 205-pounder. I never felt like I got pushed around at 205, but 185 is a weight class I can make and recover really well, just being more disciplined with my diet and stepping up my cardio.
All right, thank you.
And our next question comes from Dan of MMAJunkie.com.
Hey, Sean, I've got a quick question for you. I know some fans are saying you're overlooking Jason Miller by taking a fight with Dennis Holman this weekend with Strikeforce. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said before, I've been in this sport for less than 2 years, and I decided after my two losses in the UFC that I needed to, for me to be successful, I need to fight frequently. That keeps my mind right, keeps everything in perspective for me. And there's no way I can overlook either one of these two. I mean, Jason can finish me, Friday night just as easily as Mayhem could on the 15th. So to say that this has added some excitement and motivation to my training would be an understatement. I've never been more focused in my life, and for me to come through both of these fights 2-0, not only do I think it's a real possibility, I think that's the way it's going to happen. So I would never, in this sport, especially this year, you can't overlook anybody. I don't care if I'm fighting, I don't care if Holman was 0-5 and just started fighting last week. He's a 185-pound kid who, if he throws a hard enough punch, can knock people out. So, yeah, to take anybody lightly would be foolish and irresponsible on my part.
Okay, after this weekend, I think you're going to have 6 fights in about 3 months. Are you completely healthy?
Oh, yeah. That's one thing. I do take very good care of my body, and I'm real smart with my downtime. After this fight, I'm going after Saturday morning, I'm flying to San Diego for 2 days to just relax and hang out with my brother. I'm real big into massage therapy, and I see a chiropractor regularly. If I have any health issues, I get them fixed right away. I get it taken care of. So, yeah, I'm completely healthy.
There are currently no questions at this time.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Let's go ahead and go to Jason Mayhem Miller. Jason, 19-5 from Las Vegas, Nevada. Jason, go ahead.
Jason is no longer on the call.
Jason is no longer on the call?
No.
I scared him.
Okay.
We lost him. We got to give him a call to get him back on.
Guys, if you can hang on for a second, we'll work to get him back on the call.
In
the meantime,
he's on the call right now.
There you go.
He's back on. Sorry about that.
No problem, Jason. Go ahead. Want to go ahead and talk about the fight coming up and sign it with HDNet Price and see how things are with you.
Talking to me?
Yeah.
Word is born. I don't know, man. HDNet. Treat me like a damn princess, and I appreciate that. I'm doing good. I'm stoked. I'm excited about this fight. This is a good for me, a good style matchup to make for an exciting fight. Because I am feeling that John's gonna come at me, straightforward, and try to stick to the ground, and I'm probably gonna have no part of that. Of those shenanigans. But if we do, I enjoy. Flopping around on the ground just as much as the next one. But HDNet, so far I've just gotten, just positive experience from everybody at the promotion, and I'm pretty stoked. Like I said earlier, Guy Metzger's illustrious hair can give us all something to look forward to in each and every broadcast. But me, for the most part,
if you're really good, I'll show you how to put the proper ratio to mousse to hair gel, so you get it. It's only if you're nice and good on this interview.
All right. I'll do my best. I'll do my best for the mane and tail shampoo. But Ah, jeez. But, yeah, I don't know. We can open the floor up to questions because I'm willing to talk about whatever.
Go ahead. Questions, please.
And our next question comes from Steve of No Holds Barred.
Hey, Jason. This doesn't have to do with HDNet, but when's your next tap-out parody coming?
Oh, man. You know, I said I wouldn't do another one until people put a bunch of money in my face, and I was like, ah, well, I could just do one more, you know, but fairly shortly, like pretty soon. I got production, everything, I got production crew ready to go, and I can't believe that I'm making another one, but I am.
And this one's for Guy. Guy, I'm noticing, I'm looking at the card, and this seems to be the story of the card is ground versus striker. Can you speak towards that?
Well, I mean, the only one I think the only one that's really kind of that, particularly that way, is the Pete Pratt and Tristan Yonka fight. I mean, you know, you look at, all the rest of the fights are pretty much, the main event fight, you know, these guys have got a good mix of everything. Most of these guys on these cards have a good mix of everything. I mean, you look at, Christoph and Robert Villegas. You know, Villegas is definitely a stronger ground game, maybe, but Christoph has good ground game. So I don't know. You know, Pete Pratt's ground game has gotten real good. He's real confident in it. And that's really the only one where people look, okay, Pete Pratt is almost strictly a striker versus Christian Yonker, which is almost strictly a grappler. But, you know, Pete's not shying away from this, you know. It wasn't like he said, give me a striker, you know. He, you know, when Christian wanted to fight him, he said he'd do it. So that's really the only one that I did. Chris Bowles and Corey Mann are both real good grapplers and strikers. I would say maybe the other one, the heavyweight match, might be a little bit that way. Patrick Castillo has definitely won most of his fights by strikes, whereas Jay, although he has not a huge win factor, he fought a really tough guy. He is a jiu-jitsu guy. So that would be kind of the only one that I would look at and go, okay, those are probably the two fights that are kind of striker grappler.
Yeah, you got Freddie, who's a Muay Thai guy, and you got TV Dalloway as a wrestler, and then you've got Eves, who's more of a striker, but all around, and then you got Alonzo, who's 11 submissions, 7 KOs. So there seems to be. Are you more of an old school kind of guy where you like that, or do you like to pit striker against striker or wrestler against wrestler?
I prefer to put a fight. At this point, there's no titles or anything. There's not a huge. I'd rather put together fights that are going to be exciting for people. Yeah, I mean, Alonzo, although, you know, yeah, he's got a lot of submissions. I mean, have you seen this kid fight?
I have not, actually.
I mean, he does finish a lot of guys on the ground stuff, but he's got a good stand-up. I mean, Chris Bowles is the same way. Chris Bowles has all 7 or 8 of his wins by submission, but if you watch him, he does a lot of stand-up. His last fight didn't, because the guy came up and did the flying guillotine choke, but, you know, he tried to. So that wasn't all that exciting. But, the problem today is guys are all very well-rounded. So, you know, I try to put guys that are doing, like TV Dalloway, most of his fights are won by TKO. You know, he's got a boxing record. He's 3-0 in boxing. He fights on the Indian shows in Arizona. So, I mean, in his last fight, he finished the guy basically standing up, you know, hit him with a knee that knocked him completely, you know, off his, knocked the guy completely off his feet, and then finished him with some rather uncomfortably powerful shots to the side of the head when he was on the ground. So, you know, I mean, say it's striker against that, really these guys are getting so good these days, it's getting to be more of a blur, you know, unless you're strictly going against a guy who only has wrestling ability. But now these guys have it all, you know. Hopefully, I make some good matches. If not, I'm in trouble.
And then one for Sean. You said that when you left the UFC, you'd go down to, you know, like the minor leagues to tune up your game. Where do you think you are in that tune-up process before you, you know, obviously you're coming up to a bigger fight with HDNet Fights and then hopefully maybe back to the UFC or Pro Elite or one of these even bigger organizations. Speak towards where you are in that tune-up process.
I feel great with where I'm at. I took a step back against Travis View, but to be honest, I would do that fight all over again. I got more confidence out of that fight than I had any other fight in my career so far, just because I was controlling him on our feet with my stand-up. I was pushing him around in the clinch. And I made a stupid mistake, which now I've had the opportunity to go back and learn from. But I feel I'm exactly where I want to be. You know, I got Dennis Allman and Mayhem Miller. I mean, really excited to fight both of these guys. I can't imagine being happier anywhere else in my career. And to be honest, it's not really a goal of mine to get back to the UFC. My goal is to keep fighting, and as long as people keep signing me up for tough fights against top-notch competitors, that's where I want to be, whether it's HCNet, who's been great to me so far, you know, Strikeforce, whoever. It's not really in my head I need to get back to the UFC. I just want to keep fighting and keep moving to bigger and better competition.
All right, well, thank you. I think I'm done.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Ken of MMAweekly.com.
Hey, this is for Jason. Jason, you said that, you know, HCNet is treating you like a princess, and, but aside from promising you a tiara, what led to you leaving the WEC when you were probably the most likely candidate to challenge Paulo Filho for his title there? And, you know, why did you decide to move on and find the HCNet?
Well, you know, it's pretty hard to get excited for the fight. I know that they were really, the WC was really pushing to be, you know, on par with the UFC, but the whole thing was that, dude, I felt like I was out back in high school wrestling again, and I was fighting in front of 200 people, and I was like, you know, I just didn't feel that excited about my career, you know what I mean? And that coupled with the Zippo organization, you know, they do a good job of trying to keep their guys locked up in a contract, you know, forever, you know. So when I saw the opportunity to go ahead and leave, I left, you know. It wasn't the hardest thing for me to think about, you know what I mean, that I've ever done. I mean, it was a tough decision, and now that I've come to HCNet, I'm really happy that I made that decision. But you know, it was, you know, like there was a rough spot right there. I broke my hand, and then on top of that, I was in this, you know, state of limbo where I didn't know exactly where I was going to go and fight. So
that seems to be kind of a trend lately with a lot of fighters looking for a place where they can fight, but still be allowed to fight in other places. Do you think that's something that's just going to grow with time as organizations like HCNet step in and allow guys to fight with other organizations? Is that a big factor?
Absolutely, absolutely, man. I think the guy is saying it best, that the way that they're going to go, and, you know, it's going to be, the talent's going to rise to the top. All these guys are going to have to fight each other, regardless of, you know, once the fighters grow bigger than, you know, an octagon, then it's going to be very difficult for, you know, for the whole power paradigm is going to shift to where the talent has the power. And, you know, that's a good thing since I'm on this side, but, you know, maybe if I'm a fight promoter at that time, I'll be pissed.
Well, you know, to answer your question, add to that, this is Guy. No, there's going to be a shift in talent goes. If this sport grows like the intention everyone thinks it's going to grow, it's just a natural evolution for this to happen. I mean, you know, and again, you know, we at HCNet, we recognize this trend and this thing. I mean, we understand where the UFC is coming from and some of these other organizations about wanting to, you know, protect their investments in promoting their athletes, but they really should shift their paradigm set from, you know, maybe controlling the athletes as much as being like a real production company, or, you know, like the boxing guys do it, and they sign these guys to 3 or 4 fight deals, and there's maybe I would love to see an independent sanctioning body to come in. That way, everybody gets that. You know, if we had the, you know, I don't know, Universal Martial Arts title or something like that, that everybody, you know, gets to fight for, you know, and make it legit. So, you know, the UFC, they can promote, you know, 2 or 3 title fights a year, and we can promote 2 or 3 title fights a year, and somebody else who, you know, who comes aboard and does this, and, know, one of the criticisms of this is people saying, well, why would these guys, these rinky-dink shows? Well, rinky-dink shows can't afford to put on shows like we put on. You know, I mean, that's the whole point. USC puts on these great shows because they can afford to do it. We put on these great shows because we can afford to do it. The little guys won't be able to until they can step up and do that. So it would allow these guys to be able to, you know, to be honest, it's about making money, too. Everyone's dancing around that question, I mean, you know, because no one wants to sound, you know, no one wants to sound greedy here, but it's about making money. And these guys have got the opportunity to make more money. They're making more money fighting for us than these other organizations, these other small organizations, and they may make more money with us than fighting for the USC at this time. So,
yeah, I have no qualms about saying that I'm a greedy bastard.
that makes three of us.
You just had to be asked directly, right?
Yeah. You just asked me to save out some money. I would have said, yeah, Mark Cuban, you know, he went to a sock drawer, he pulled out a big fat roll, and was like, yo, here, come fight for me. I said, where does Mark?
So, I mean, like I said, I mean, that's kind of, I think, where it's going, if that kind of fills out the rest of the answer to that question.
Exactly. You know, the UFC recently held some meetings with their fighters to help kind of get them up to snuff with the business side of things. Is that something, you know, that's something the NBA does, the NFL does, where they bring a lot of the new guys in and kind of teach them how to deal with, you know, coming to this level of professional sports. Is that something that you guys see happening with HDNet, you know, fairly soon as you're bringing in more and more talent and bigger name fighters and, you know, you're putting money into these guys. Do you see yourselves helping those athletes to cope with becoming a professional?
Wait, you're asking if they're going to talk about a 401k and a medical plan?
Well, maybe 401k or medical plan, but also I think they give some guidance as far as how to deal with the fame that comes with being a professional athlete, how to deal with the money that you're suddenly given, where a lot of guys come from not having that much money to coming into.
Oh yeah, I already been through that. You drink a bunch of liquor and bang a bunch of hookers, and then all out of nowhere you piss your life away, and then you go, oh, maybe I should stop doing this. Yeah, I think I could run the class on that. If Guy is up to it, I'll run the class on how not to bang a bunch of hookers and not to drink a bunch of liquor and ruin your life.
Yeah, this is Andrew. I'll take some crack on that question myself over here.
That might be a better approach.
Yeah, let me give it a shot. You know, what UFC did, there was a couple of things. I mean, obviously, they're trying to put a plan in like the NBA or the NFL. But the other piece, I mean, obviously, Dana was the first to say he was nervous, you know, that he wasn't communicating with his athletes and what was going on with Randy and all these things. So I think there were dual reasons for those meetings. That said, you know, people like Jason, and these guys are adults and know how to manage their money. They don't need us every day telling them what to do. But, you know, a couple things that we've talked about, you know, over time, and what Mark has brought up a few times is that, you know, we're treating everybody like athletes, that everybody, you know, trainers, the fighters are getting their own rooms, you know, for the fights, getting the ability to train, do what they need to do, give them food before or after the fight to their teams, putting all that piece together, and then ultimately, you know, we are looking at the medical side. Is there something we could do for fighters, you know, for all the fighters that fight for HDNet over time on the top rung? Can we do something? And that's something we're looking at for 2008. So, you know, hopefully that answers a little bit, but I think, you know, to make it sound like that was, you know, I'm sure there were numerous reasons Dana had those meetings.
Right.
But also, too, and to kind of go on a little bit more on your question, you know, I would think, yeah, we want to help these guys out. I mean, I think a lot of these younger guys, and even some of the older guys, you know, I mean, there always has to be a reality check in it. And they have to understand that however great things are going now, it's always temporary in the fight business because you only have X amount of years to get in there and do it, and any injury can end it for you. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, our intention with the thing is to be, you know, to be a partnership with these guys. You know, especially the guys that stay with us for longer periods of time. You know, Mark has talked about trying to develop an insurance program where guys can either get cheap insurance or we can provide it for them as they are in contract with us. Mark talked about getting a real sports agent in there. A friend of his does the is a very powerful NBA agent, and talk to him about, hey, how can we get these guys something outside of negotiating their contract, and outside of, how can we get them involved with Nike? How do we get them involved with, you know, speaking engagements? How do we get them involved with that? And then, you know, obviously, you know, working with them on doing that, because it's twofold. As we create these, you know, as these guys become more successful and do that kind of stuff, it only reflects good on us and our sport, you know. And so it's, you know, it's kind of a win-win situation if we're the ones who'll step up and do that. If anybody, that for that matter.
Thanks, guys.
And the next question comes from Sam of 5OuncesOfPain.com.
Yes, hi, guys. This question is for, I guess, both Jason and maybe even Guy. Jason, if you win in December and also Frank Trigg wins in December, is there any possibility that you guys could face each other again in February?
Man, I would get a Woody if that could happen, you know, whenever possible. I, as soon as I heard Frank was coming over, I was like, all right, you know, that made me train. That made me train even harder. I was so excited, you know. But, you know, I first things first, John Salmon, you know, he's a tough, tough dude. So I'm definitely, you know, got my hands full and I'm training hard for him. But, you know, that's definitely, you know, whenever they put whoever in front of me, I'm going to do what I got to do to get his job done. So that's that. Mr. Metzger.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously that would be, you know, that would be an interesting fight. I mean, you know, if these guys, you know, like I said, I always hate to speculate before a fight gets done and what we'll do for the second fight, because they got a fight in front of them right now, you know, and none of these guys are slouches. And so they, you know, and really, you know, any one of these guys could win. And that's kind of the beauty of mixed martial arts, is that there is a greater possibility for upsets or greater possibility for varied ways of winning. So, you know, I've learned long ago not to put too much in fore planning on these things. Would it be great to see these two guys fight again? Absolutely. They win their fights, they come in, we'll put that fight together. But we're mainly concerned that they get that everybody gets through this fight healthy and well, and they do their best. Because, you know, let's say Sean wins, then it might be Sean against Trigg. I mean, you know, we're gonna, you know, it's gotta be, you know, it's, so you know, we have to make sure that these guys are focused on this fight, and then we'll worry about the next fight when it comes up.
And I guess one quick question for Guy is: Christoph Szczesinski, did he sign a multi-fight deal with HD Net Fights?
No, but we're not opposed to doing that. He's a good, solid guy. He, you know, he took a fight for us. Potentially, we're going to fight for some very short notice. And he flew in, did it. We actually didn't actually need him to fight. I love that kind of that field. I love guys that are willing to that are in shape and willing. And believe me, he didn't come in like a slob. Like, I'm going to take a paycheck and do stuff like somebody else that might have done that against Kimbo Slice. But not to get mean. but you know, he came in there. He was in shape and ready to go, and very disappointed he didn't get the fight. And so, yeah, I mean, I would love to have him on a. He's not presently on a multi-fight deal, but I have no problem signing one.
All right, thanks.
Okay, and our next question comes from Matt of Fight Magazine.
Yeah, this is for Jason. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Hey.
When you fight in December, it'll be right at 7 months since your last fight. It seems to be that looks to be the longest layoff of your career. Any concerns at all with any kind of rust or getting back in there after, you know, the injury or anything like that?
Man, I'm too young to rust, man. it'll be different. It'd be a hassle if, like, I was one of those dudes who just, like, walked in and the training only when I have a fight. Yeah, that would, I probably wouldn't, you know, be prepared, but I pretty much train to be ready for a fight, you know, for this whole layoff, you know what I mean? I broke my hand, I was out for a month, and then I just got right back in the room and was training. As soon as I could punch somebody with my right hand, I punched them. So, you know, there's no real layoff, and I've just kept that competitive mindset, and I've had so many fights now that I feel so comfortable in a ring or a cage or wherever the hell I'm fighting, that, you know, that it's just, you know, another day in the office, you know.
I got you. Well, we'll be looking forward to another one of those famous Mayhem Miller ring entrances as well.
Sweet baby Jesus, won't we all?
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, our next question comes from Jason of comes from David of Riverside Press. David of Riverside Press, your line is open for questions.
Oh, yes. Jason, are you still training out of Team Quest and making that long ride from Hollywood?
Yeah, what'd you do, fall asleep on us? Yeah, man. Actually, I'm in Temecula right now. I drive down on Monday, and then I'll leave on Friday normally. So that's my usual training schedule, but I got the pressure to even stay on Saturday, too, so I don't know why the hell I don't live here. Probably because my old lady is in Hollywood.
And also, could you describe the steps it took to hook up with HDNet? You know, who made the first encounter, or how did it go?
Yeah, it was a really strange thing. I was on the freeway, and I got a phone call for me to look out my window. And I look out my window, and there's Mark Cuban on a helicopter. He was hanging off of a rope ladder. And I was like, what the hell? And he had a contract in his hand. He was swinging it back and forth. And I was like, well, you know, this is serious business.
And the money, is it more than twice the way you were getting with WC or?
It's considerable, let me tell you. Yeah, it's a good amount. I mean, I have a good relationship with Elite XC because I work with ProElite.com. I do their, and they're tied in with Elite XC. And they were really, you know, hard, you know, pressing me. But when it came down to it, you know, like Guy said, I have a short amount of time to make a maximum amount of money beating people up for a living. And, you know, if I hurt my pinky toe, this might be all over. So I got to, you know, I have to build for my future because I have no other job skills.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Jason.
Hey, thank you, sir.
And our next question comes from Caleb of MMAPredictions.com.
Hey, guys, it's Caleb. Yeah, I guess this is a more corporate question. Certainly, HDNet fights has some advantages over maybe some of the other promoters in terms of distribution. But given that it's such a crowded market, could you talk a little bit about the strategies you guys are planning to use to really, really differentiate yourselves from this competition?
Sure, this is Andrew speaking. You know, a couple things. Number one, you know, Jason isn't offhand there saying, you know, we have Mark Cuban, who is one of the best promoters in the world, part of the team and owner of what we're doing. Number two, we're able to leverage the teams from the Dallas Mavericks, you know, the marketing, the sponsorship teams across the board, really to bring in the best sponsors across the board, bring in the best arena in the country in the American Airlines Center. Number two, like you said, we have a TV channel that we own. I mean, how do you get better promotion from being able to run commercials all day long, run the shows four or five times in a given month, put on Inside MMA, where I'm sitting right now, actually on you know, the cast of Inside MMA that's filming right next to me over here, and we have a TV show every week covering the sport from all over the country. And just as an early press release for everybody out there, too, Kurt Angle is doing Inside MMA over here next to us, so you'll get to see good old professional wrestler Kurt Angle doing Inside MMA on Friday. I just got to throw that out as a promotion. But again, you know, we have advantages that other people don't. Number two, we're going to be acquiring the best fighters in the world. On top of that, building the best fighters in the world. And you'll see from our partner organizations that we're going to continue to bring in great fighters from all over the country and all over the world, on top of bringing in guys like Mayhem, like Sean Savin and Frank Trigg and DeWeese to come in to build to the guys that will be homegrown as well.
Andrew, could you give a little background on what made you decide to step away from Cox and join HDNet Fights?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. Number one, I've worked with Mark Cuban and Jeff Cuban for years from the cable operator side of the business. And, you know, what happened, frankly, is, you know, Guy Mezger and Mark Cuban came out to Vegas, met with them over at the Palms, and we started talking about everything they're doing. And I've been an MMA guy following the sport since the beginning, the time being that, you know, I get to watch every pay-per-view on the cable side of the business nonstop, working with every operator from every ring sport, including wrestling, including mixed martial arts, including boxing. I've been to every event that's in Vegas. But overall, you know, again, Mark Cuban is probably the best promoter in the world. Guy Mezger, champion in the sport, and also, you know, a great guy to work with. And when I jump back.
Okay, thank you very much.
And there are currently no questions at this time.
Yay.
Hey, thank you very much for all your questions, and I'd like to give the closing comments to Andrew Simon, CEO for HDNet Flight.
Again, I apologize. I was getting some feedback at the end of the last comments. Again, thanks to Jason and Sean Salmon for showing up for this call. Appreciate it. We can't wait to see you guys get into the cage on December 15th at the American Airlines Center for Reckless Abandon. And thank you to everybody out there. One thing I'm going to do for myself, too, just so anybody who needs anything from me, I'm going to throw out my email address. Might be dangerous, but it's asimon@hd.net. You know, Mark Cuban taught me that by putting his email up there at the American Airlines Center during Mavericks games, so I'm not scared either. If you guys have any comments or ever want to know anything, I'll try to help you out. Again, asimon@hd.net.
Thank you very much. That's the end of our conference.
Damn that guy.
Thanks.